సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి ఠాకూర్ మహారాజ్ శ్రీ ప్రభుపాద్ కి అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి రామాచార్య హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరవృందకి జయ శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణకు కృపినా శ్యామ కృతనాథాకృతికి వృందంకి జయ బృందావృందానికి జయ నవద్విత్మయ ప్రధానికి జయ జగన్నాథ ప్రధానికి జయ గంగామాయి కి జయ జమునామాయి కి జయ భక్తి దేవి కి జయ తులసి మహారాణి కి జయ సమావేత భక్తులందరి కి జయ వితాయ గౌరవ ప్రమానందే ఓం గౌరవ సంబుద్ధి హరే కృష్ణ ఓం గౌరవ సంబుద్ధి హరే కృష్ణ ఓం గౌరవ సంబుద్ధి హరే కృష్ణ గౌరవ శిష్య గురు అని శుభరాత్రి ఓం జ్ఞానతిమిరంధస్య జ్ఞానంజనశ్రాతయ చక్షుర్మిలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురువే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురుః శ్రీయుతాపదకమలం శ్రీ గురుం వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీ రూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణా రఘునాథామృతాంతం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణా లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖామృతాశ్చ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః నమః విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణపృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తు వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే వి ఆర్ టుడే ఎంబార్కింగ్ ఆన్ ది సబ్జెక్ట్ మ్యాటర్ ఆఫ్ కర్మ అండ్ రీఇన్కార్నేషన్ ద రిలేషన్షిప్ బిట్వీన్ ద టూ In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is explaining the nature of activity
our activity, especially the activity of human beings, which is entitled as a karma, that nobody can stay without performing any activity. Activity is being coming from utilization of the energy ordained within the recycling method of energy of the Lord. Lord has multiple potencies. But just to explain, from the food grains, the body is built. Ultimately, food grains are responsible even for the animals. So, ultimately, food grains are the builder of the body. Annad bhavanti bhutani. But the food grains are produced by the rain. Rain is essential. But what is the potency of the rain? After all, irrigation is not the direct potency of the rain, but it is an accumulated and channelizing the reservoir of water to provide. But ultimately, a reservoir of the water is also dependent upon the rain. But the rain can be adequate and of the quality according to the act which is not contrary to the natural preservation. What we call our activities of pollution, activities of abuse, and the activities which are not in favor of preservation of the nature, the quality of rain will be also So, annad bhavanti bhutani, parjanyat annasambhava. It is, the food grains are possible on the account of rain. But, yajnat bhavati parjanya. An act of sacrifice is the cause of the adequate rain. Sacrifice means, our activity that produces the counter activity, because every action has an opposite resultant reaction. So, as you call the counter activity or the fruit of our activity, which is coming as such, then it should be conducive to the laws of nature, not against the nature. So, for example, man has polluted the soil through fertilizers. Man has polluted the air by aerosols. Man has polluted even consciousness, what to speak. Everything is polluted in this particular age because everybody is trying to become lord of what they can survey and grab for themselves. As if more things are available, more they become greedy to acquire. So there is an imbalance. The aerosols have caused the perforation of the ozone layer. Now a lot of radiation is coming and we become the victim. Every action has an opposite reaction for an individual or a collective community. What to speak of nations? Blaming gain is not valid. Everybody has been, those who are not living naturally, they are responsible for it. You can't, become tricky to get away from the reactions. But annad bhavanti bhutani parjanyat anna sambhava yajnat bhavati parjanya yajna karma samudra. An act of sacrifice can be conducive to the natural favorable consequences Otherwise, the act of sacrifice also originates from performing an activity. But positive activity or negative activity depends upon us. But after all, that energy or the potency to perform an activity thus is coming from not our own generated energy. It has been simply borrowed from the source of all energy, all potency. So, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. Karma means the potency to act. Activity is caused or impelled by more of passion. And human being is endowed with little extra more of passion. A passionate person is going to act. Anybody who is active on the basis of the impelling more of passion. So, yajna karma samudbhava, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi. The energy, the potency is coming from the sum total of creation, both spiritual and material. This potency is in inert matter as well as a conscious matter. So, karma brahmodbhavam vidhi, brahmaksharam samudbhavam. And the Supreme Brahman is the cause of both the creations, spiritual as well as material. Tasmat Brahma Nitya Yajna Pratishthita. Therefore, the appearance of the Brahman or realization of the ultimate aspect of our being, both in the material phase as well as spiritual phase, is coming as little part and parcel of the Supreme Absolute, Param Brahma. So, this is explained in Bhagavad Gita as a cycle. And this is getting recycled. So, transformation of energy. So, we are talking of two energies, which is called conscious energy, and another is unconscious energy or unconscious energy. The body itself is not conscious. But the consciousness is in the part and parcel of the Supreme Consciousness. That what we are. So ultimate aim is to target our self soul, or part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. So unless and until we develop a consciousness centered around the Supreme Whole, then and then everything fits into the puzzle of this material existence. The body is not by itself conscious. It is the soul which is the animating factor to act and make it active. When the soul leaves the body is nothing but dead material existence. And that is going to merge into its own origin of the substances. Either by cremation or by putting him on the fire or on the earth or let other animals chew up his body, doesn't matter. It is recycled. So, the medical science also have found out that at every 7 years, all our cells, they change. Not a single cell is going to be the same cell. The position may be the same, but the body is changing. The change of body is called incarnation. But systematically, if we notice that the change of body is so subtle that it becomes oblivious to our common understanding. Oblivious, we are not careful about, but we recognize it, that if we live for 100 years in this particular life, our body would have changed for 14 times. And nobody can assert any other way to understand that my body has reincarnated. From one body, I'm transplanted into another body 7 times before I will quit. I mean, in this age, there is no guarantee that one is going to live for 100 years. They have at least, out of 14 changes of the body, at least 10 changes are good enough for them. But still, we do not want to recognize the fact that our bodies are going through. So Krishna is explaining, tatha dehantara prapti. When this body is not fit, and our experience of change of body will continue. If not this body, we will enter into another body. Without body, we cannot continue our activities. This is the common belief. Our inclination to act or contribute in this material world will not be fulfilled. So, I'm going to present this short presentation that Krishna is explaining in this Bhagavad Gita. Vasaunsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani narupanani. Just like when we give up old garments and accept the new garments, because they are torn. So, we keep on continuing changing the garments. Maybe it not fit the size, so that's also a cause of change. When they are used and torn, we can change. But the continuation of change is also there when this garment is not at all fitting or one thing. You may start all over again. The tatha dehantara prapti dhirastatra namuhyati. Similarly, the continuation of change of the body will be again given by the nature. So, that is called reincarnation. Re means repeated. Incarnating means to come into material existence. Only in material existence reincarnation happens. Not in the spiritual existence. Why? Because we cannot exclude the conscious entity. I'm sorry. We cannot exclude the conscious entity that is our reality. We have to continue because it is a very active principle. Without that, there is no possibility of even any activity of the change of the body. So, as the embodied soul continually passes in this body from the boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at the death. A sober person is not bewildered by such a change. Transmigration of the soul is there. Because the soul is migrating from one body to another, even though we think it is the same body. Because the body is changing at 7 years, so naturally the subtlety of migration will never notice. But it is a fact that all our selves have a limited duration of existence, and that is 7 years. That is the medical science say. So the soul is moving from one body to another. The body is compared to a chariot in Kathopanishad, where it has 5 senses, and these 5 senses are driving the body. The chariot is body, the 5 senses are 5 horses, and there is a driver, and in his hands there is a controlling rope. The rope is a representation of mind, and the driver is the intelligence. Soul is a passenger in the chariot of the body. He is not having the same constitution as the body. He is completely a different kind of entity, the one who animates. It doesn't have the composition of the material body's composition, because he has forgotten his own original body and is accepting some fake body. Just like our clothes are hanged on a wall, and the position that we put on, it gives the shape of the body. Similarly, the soul is not only attractive or beautiful, but it has its own body, which is made up of or composed of different elements other than material elements. These elements are called Sat means eternity, Chit means knowledgeability, and Anand means blissful. 3 inherent qualities are combining 3 spiritual energies. Existential energy, knowledge is also an energy, it is power, knowledge is power, but it's a potency. And the bliss potency is called Ladini potency. So, Sandini, Samvit and Ladini potencies are configured, binding with the 3 spiritual modes. And we have a spiritual form, means spiritual body. Krishna's body is transcendentally pure, speck pure, made up of Satchidananda, the Vigraha. And according to it, we are part and parcel of Him. So, we have very beautiful body inside. After all, that is the object of our love in our relationship. It's the soul that we love. We do not love the body. When the soul leaves the body, who loves it? So, that fantasy or mistake or wrong conception can be immediately removed. The animator is the one who is related to us, not the body. So, therefore, here is an illustration that to understand this reality, one has to be in control. But the intelligent is the factor which is controlling over the mind, which will control ultimately the senses. In this way, our life will be on the correct path, will not deviate. If our senses are loose and they want to go on their own directions, without any control, can you imagine what will be the situation of the chariot? It's about to collapse. Not only that, the passenger, the soul on the chariot, what will happen to him? That is called confused. Confusion means he can't figure out what's going on. This is the elemental structure of the body. Earth, water, fire, air, ether. But then mind is there, intelligence is there, and ego. But these three constitute subtle aspect of the body. The five are as containing the gross aspect of the body. Now, the soul can be experienced or perceived by the presence of consciousness. Consciousness is a symptom of life. Means, wherever there is consciousness, the life is there. The fundamental understanding is that the soul is present. Many spiritual traditions of the world accept consciousness as the being a symptom of the soul. At the time of death, all physical and chemical components of the body remain in place, but something non-physical has been lost. Even though our language, we identify ourselves as being different from the body. The body is composed, as compared to the vehicle. Out-of-body experiences are there. And they have been noted. The body may be still breathing, but the soul is experiencing. And when the body becomes fit, he enters because he is attached. Suppose in a house, there is a disaster and the house is not worthy, so we are being kicked out of the house. We have to get out. You know, the house is still there. If we see house burning, then what are we reminded? The most dear thing to us left behind in the burning house will be our immediate focus of attention, because we are attached to it the most. How can we understand the existence of the soul? Seeing is not believing. How do scientists deal with certain subatomic particles? We can believe that the solid matter, such as a rock, is really composed of tiny solar systems in which electrons are revolved and at incredible speed around the protons. Even in dead matter, these subtle activities are going on. Activity, the potency is manifested in activity. There are three kinds of manifestation of the potencies of the Lord: Jnana, Bala, Kriya. The knowledge is also potency, strength is also potency, and activities are also full of potencies. A dead matter is also potent, but we call it a ground state level of existence. But there are higher elements in the science they have discovered, like uranium and others. They are very active. Even the dead, non-conscious, but yet they are very highly active. So what to speak of the entire material particle, which is the soul, and his consciousness. How much active, dynamic it would be. So we have to pay the attention. So the qualities of the souls have been delineated. For the soul, there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. This is the fundamental understanding that any confused man has to begin with. A sober man can contemplate on this phenomena. Soul is never born, it is ever existing. The body is born, but the soul is not born. The body stays for some time and then disappears, but the soul doesn't. And further, it is described the soul can never be cut to pieces by any weapon, nor burned by fire, nor moistened by water, nor withered by the wind. This individual soul is unbreakable and insoluble, and eternally the same. The soul is invisible, inconceivable, and immutable. You cannot study the soul so minutely on your own unless a specific guidance is given. So, the super soul, the master of all beings, have to explain in different ages and time, but the fact about it remains the same, unchangeable. This is explained. Vasaasi jirnani yatha vihaya navani granati naroparani tatheva cha sharirani vihaya jirnanyani anyani sanyati navani dehi. The translation is, as a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, the soul similarly accepts new material bodies, giving up old and useless ones. The connection between karma and reincarnation. Like Newton's third law of motion, the law of karma says that for every action there is a reaction. Act good, get good facilities. Act bad, get bad facilities. In the Republic, that is the literature Plato wrote, he said, Plato paraphrased the same principle. God is blameless, man has chosen his own fate, and this by his action. The biblical equivalent would be, as you sow, so shall you reap. You are what you eat. This is how the consciousness is being transformed into activity which is going to pave the way for the next birth of the opportunity. Indiscriminate eating. I heard the Australians are avid eaters. They go in so many different restaurants. They are never satisfied. They travel all over the world simply for international cuisines. All these habits have been the reflection of what we, our conscious would drag us into. So there are specific species of life that represent this kind of consciousness. So in human form of life, we have to be human. And the endowment of human ability to look after his own reality. If we miss this opportunity, then naturally we will degrade ourselves. One who is fond of simply nakedness to entice, then the nakedness of the tree is equivalent to it. Even our attachment, maybe it's benevolent, but they are forming our consciousness. This attachment, even to a learned person, can become troublesome. So, what our consciousness is locked at the time of quitting the body, that particular consciousness will carry us into that particular species of life next time. This is an example of King Jada Bharat. You know, he was such a pious, he gave up all his kingdom and went for austerity because he wanted to retire and make his way. to back home. It so happened that in his meditation, he heard a thunderous roar of a lion, and there was a female deer. She was pregnant. So out of sudden shock of attack of lion, she jumped into nearby river where Bharat was meditating. Out of fear, she already had delivered a little fawn. But Bharat immediately got an impulse to save the fawn. But he could not save the mother deer. Now, Bharat has to take care of the little fawn. His entire consciousness deviated from meditation into the physical attachment to this little fawn. He said, I'm the little fawn's mother now. I have to, support the lady. And this attachment grew so much that both cannot live without each other. And Baba, he has given up all this kingdom and everything, and he is becoming attached to an incidental, insignificant attachment. But that was the consciousness at the time of his leaving the body. And he inadvertently became a deer in his next life. But he understood his mistake. The consciousness remains still even in the animal, if it is degraded species. That consciousness made him to take another opportunity to come into human species of life in a pious family. But he had to make a determined effort not to come under the sway of any kinsman, any relative. So he started acting deaf and dumb, so people will ignore him. It's a deliberate attempt to, and very austere too, this Jadbharat, he became deaf and dumb, and everybody started abusing him, yet he tolerated all the inconveniences. His brother did it, He never resisted anything. He depended on the Lord to protect him. He was fully surrendered soul. One time he was being dragged by some dacoits to be offered as a human sacrifice. And Kali, protected him. But at the same time, Jadbharat then was captured by some soldiers of a king who was being taken on a palanquin, So one of the carrier was sick, so they thought this hefty person can be replaced. So they brought him. He said, okay, engage in king's service by lifting him up. But then all of a sudden, he carried, but he saw some ants are going, so he will jump and not step on. So this made the king hit his head on the palanquin's foot, ceiling. And he was disturbed. But he started doing often because there were lots of ants and he didn't want to kill anybody. Now what kind of behavior is this? But that gives an opportunity. That king became so angry that he came down to chastise him. Don't you know who you are carrying? Who you are serving? And Jadbharat started replying from deaf and dumb situation because he was a liberated person. He was beyond the bodily conception of life. He acted on his pure conviction as a soul, subordinate to the Supreme and to nobody else. And there's a beautiful conversation started. My dear king, you are king today. You were not king yesterday. This kind of position changing are due to so-called karma. You may not know how long are you going to be king. So why are you so much puffed up? Have mental balance and equilibrium to discern the reality of yourself. And king was shocked that how come a deaf and dumb person can so eloquently speak and gives this spiritual knowledge. He said, the knowledge of the soul, self-realization, doesn't come by its own accord. You have to be reasoning with yourself. So, in this way, Jan Bharat had three lives to be given as an example that how the karma that creates an attachment, that creates the another transmigration. So these are the sequences. And this has been very well explained in Bhagavad Gita. You must be familiar with this book. This is the explanation of the karma related to the incarnation. So, one who has taken birth is sure to die, and after death, one is sure to take another birth again. So, this is called repetition of birth and death. Actually, it's a problem. And it is not a pleasant event. But, unless and until we become detached from the bodily conception of life, and increase our spiritual conception and becoming attached to it, then there are every chances that within this lifetime we will overcome the problems of birth, death, old age and disease. That is the spiritual way of handling this. Even in Christianity, Jesus Christ is the story of Prophet Elijah, you know, in Origen, theologian and father of early Christianity, 3rd century AD, Emperor Justinian and 553 AD, everybody has indicated the incarnation and validity of it. Even in Quran, it is quoted, and you were dead and he brought you back to life. And he shall cause you to die and shall bring you back to life. And in the end shall gather you unto himself. And Judaism is also in the Zohar, a principle of book of Kabbalah, is it? Then famous personalities who were student of Bhagavad Gita, they say, you know, Benjamin Franklin is saying, finding myself to exist in the world, I believe I shall in some shape or other way always exist. John Adams was also another president of the United States of America. He says, those souls who revolted against God were placed here to transmigrate through various species of animals, birds, reptiles, etc. Walt Whitman is also another American philosopher. He wrote a song of myself. I know I am deathless. We have thus far exhausted trillions of winters and summers. There are trillions ahead and trillions ahead of them. And then Socrates is also telling, I am confident that there truly is such a thing as living again, and the living spring from the dead. Plato is telling, the fallen souls take birth in the human forms, the highest of which is that of the philosopher, who strives for the higher knowledge. If his knowledge becomes perfect, the philosopher can return to an eternal existence. But if he becomes hopelessly entangled in the material desires, he descends into the animal species of life. After some time, the soul again attains the human form and another chance to achieve the liberation. So in this way, reincarnation has been established as a fact that everybody can experience within themselves. They don't have to wait for another life. Because generally we forget what we acquired in this life. But life continues on. So, I would like to go on another representation of what impels us to work. Are you working on your own volition, on your own desire, or who controls our working nature? So this is the story, this is the fundamental understanding about the effect of the three modes of material nature. When the soul falls from the grace of the Lord, then he has been he has to come under the world, what we call creation. This material world has been created for the fallen conditioned souls. The souls are conditioned because they rebelled against the desire of the Lord in spiritual life. So, who will control them? Just like in a jail, there are so many people employed to control the culprits. So similarly, this material world has been explained like a big jail. The liberated persons, they do not stay in the jail. Just like the civilization, most of the civilization means the law-abiding people will stay free. They have more mobility. But at the same time, what is the confinement? Because they will be impelled to work anyway. But this is an example to understand the confinement or conditioning state of the soul. Souls fallen from the grace are conditioned by the effect of the potency of material nature. Even the inferior potency than the potency of the Lord, which is internal, or what we call Satchidananda, the transcendental spiritual potency. The soul belongs to it, but it's subjugated by the material potencies. Because he acquired material body. So who is going to govern his activities? Under whose jurisdiction man is working? There is no independence. Actually, same for the soul. There is no independence. He's a confined person. Therefore, we try to get ourselves liberated. We express this kind of liberation even in conditioned state by advancement of science and advancement of our rights. The men and women both want to execute on the same parallel rights. You know, women's leave. These are all examples of some kind of people are feeling confinement, as if it's an imposed thing. Yes, it is imposed by the material nature itself. Yeah. So we want to study how material nature acts upon us. How we are so being influenced day in and out by the three modes of material nature. The mode of goodness, more of passion, and more of ignorance. These three are affected. Actually, our quality in our person has been composed of a mixture of these three qualities. Sometimes we think in a very sober way, leaning towards the reality. Sometimes we are so passionate that our activity, we are becoming hyperactive as if to achieve something with our own desire and work out. We have some liberty, but that doesn't mean this liberty is forever. The third thing, mode of ignorance. Most of the people do not want to care anything about what to speak of knowing one's reality, but they want to drag on just like animals. For eating, sleeping, mating and defending, and they don't have any other proclivity. Animals do, human beings do. What's the difference between them? So those who are in ignorance, they prefer that kind of situation. So let's see, how do we get into this? In Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, 10th verse, Krishna is telling, Maya dakshena prakriti suyati sacharacharam hetunanena kaunte jagadvi parivartate. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. We see creation is there, sustenance is there, then again dissolution is there. If we see the whole cosmic manifestation, what to speak of our universe? It is an insignificant existence by comparison. And we being the tiny soul confined in this body, what is our existence by significance in comparison to whole of New Zealand? Very insignificant. Then what to speak of the whole world? Very, very insignificant. Then what to speak of the entire creation? As if we are living in a non-existential level. It is that much insignificant. Then what makes the difference that we are somebody? It's the consciousness. It's the consciousness. So, taking into account, when our material body, which is animated by our self as soul, through the transcendental potency of consciousness, then if the mode of ignorance is prevailing on us, then we will end up doing nothing but the same thing over and over again, without knowing our reality. That is the mode of ignorance. So let's say further. These are the examples that even the substances are being affected by the modes. I was told many of you know the effect of different kind of music and water crystal. I will be giving you the similar, I have a few slides on the same principle to describe the effect of the modes. It is actually effect of the modes which is created by the different sound vibrations in the music, which are conducive to a healthy crystallization, which are distorted, which even the music can do. Even the planets exert influence on us. So many things are there. So where is the question of liberty? They impose us to act in a certain way. These four substances, say alcohol is there. Then there is creativity in the form of building skyscrapers. Then another is the natural environment, you know. And the fourth one is something beyond the transcendence. So, mode of ignorance is in alcohol. Mode of passion is in construction of these skyscrapers. Then, mode of goodness is in Mother Nature. But, going to Krishna means the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whom we are part and parcel. That is a transcendental mode, beyond mode of goodness. That does not belong to material nature. First three belong to the material nature. So these are expressed as sattvagun, rajogun and tamogun, goodness, passion or ignorance. In sattvagun, people are inclined to increase the knowledge of reality. Knowledge about engineering or medicine, science or astronomy is not the knowledge of mode of goodness. It is a passionate source. Free from sins. One who wants to live a life free from sin is mode of goodness. Then, still, it is going to bind us in the material conception. Because, first of all, mode of goodness is a material mode. And we anticipate two things. As a result, if we work in or live in the life of mode of goodness, then there is a sense of happiness. And second thing is increment of knowledge. So if these two are resultant reactions which are not going to liberate us, because we like to live happily right here, even though odds are against us. The whole material world has been composed in the sense of miseries. Material existence means miserable existence. We anticipate, we think, we wishfully think that wish I could have been a happy person here. But it is too difficult to squeeze out a drop of happiness throughout our life. Because birth is a problem. Death is surely a problem. Then old age is a problem and disease is a problem. And these four things are continuing with us. The day we are born, we start getting old. We think we are growing, that is not old. But when the first year passes and we celebrate the child's birthday, happy birthday, oh my God. Then we ask him, how old are you? And he's one. Quite contrary, contradictory. So, we anticipate happiness after our benevolency and some good character, but they are materially impelled. Therefore, they bind us in the material. They are not liberating us. What to speak of rajogun or mode of passion? Unlimited desires are there. And these desires are conflicting with the desire of our partner. And there goes our life in a havoc. Fruitive activity, we become hyperactivity just to gain some advantage. Even though temporary, but it keeps us busy like an ass. Does not allow us to spare some time for thinking about our own reality. That how we have been trapped in the material nature. Attraction between man and woman is also impelled by mode of passion. It's not what we call hormonal reaction. But this mode is subtle than the hormones. The modes are responsible to produce the hormones. So, unless we have passionate nature, no chemical reaction is going to happen. Right? What to speak of mode of ignorance? Tamogun. Person become mad, he become lazy, he wants to sleep and ignore whatever is happening, who the hell cares, and intoxication. It's mode of ignorance. And he can't be proactive, productive, or helpful to anybody because he doesn't help himself. This is the slideshow for your water, messages of water. How water is also reflecting to the molds. This was an experiment done by one Japanese doctor, Masaru Emoto, in Haro Institute, Tokyo. Haro represents wave or vibration and energy. This is the doctor. You have seen that. You have all these pictures? Okay, good. And this is his laboratory where he used powerful microscope just to understand the crystallization of the water and the effect of particular sounds or different kinds of sounds on it. And this is the distilled water crystal. It's beautifully set in. But then water crystal exposed to the song entitled Silent Night, whatever the song is. But the crystallization is having an effect of the sound vibration. Then water crystal exposed to heavy metal music. It means it is completely chewing up the formation of crystal. The water that has been exposed to the words, "You make me sick, I will kill you," type on a paper paste in the bottle and the crystal will be like this. It's completely distorted. Can you imagine when the embryo is forming in the womb of a mother and the atmosphere is not conducive, what kind of formation in his tissues or the psyche? Okay. Water crystal of the Fujiwara dam before offering a prayer. And water crystal of Fujiwara dam after offering a prayer. Can you imagine what is pleasant and unpleasant impressions? Even dead matter can respond to the effect of the modes. What to speak of life? You can see the positive effect on the crystals. So, different degree of sensitiveness in expression of those modes are showing different kind of formation. See? There is no life But the effect is there. On this basis, the effect of crystals have been also measured on our psyche, our body, and they are working at certain extent on our health issues also. They are recommended. When somebody sends an order, do it, then water will say, oh, forget. But let's do it means the way you say in a pleasant and cooperative way, and then the cooperation will be found in formalization of the crystals. So in this way, these are the situation it can be corrected. So some healing process is also done on a sound vibration. I want to tell you the sound vibration that we are going to talk today is the transcendental sound vibration beyond the mode of goodness. And see the characteristics of all. I would like to read. Can you read, or it is too small? Alright. These are the categories. Ignorance, passion, goodness and pure goodness. Pure goodness means transcendental, the spiritual mode. In general characteristics, foolishness, madness, illusion, inertia, indolence and sleep is denoted to mode of ignorance. Then for passion is unlimited, uncontrollable desires and longings, intense endeavor, greed, bondage to material fruitive activities and attachment to the fruits of action. For goodness, relative purity, illumination, happiness and freedom from the sinful reaction, conducive to the real knowledge. But pure goodness, sound vibration will have this kind of effect on you. When we chant Hare Krishna, complete, unmotivated, unfailing devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, absolute knowledge means knowledge of the absolute truth, which we are part and parcel. Nobody can deny about our reality that we do exist. How much aware about ourselves, it depends. If we cultivate the mode of pure goodness by taking up the process of chanting
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare
Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So this has been observed that illumination, happiness and freedom from the sinful reactions are automatically. Then destination after death. In ignorance, the hellish worlds and animal kingdom is the destination. For passionate people, association of pretty workers on earthly planets. Goodness in the heavenly planets. And for pure goodness, it is eternal abode of the Supreme Lord. What is the object of worship for this different mode people? Ghosts and spirits for the ignorant people. Demons, powerful men and self-proclaimed imagination or imitation gods. They are passionate people. Goodness, demigods and impersonal conception of God. But then for pure goodness is the personality of Godhead. We also choose our food according to this modes invested in it. We say, it's my right, I choose. Yes, nobody can interfere in it. But you should know what is the effect of it. The food in mode of ignorance, they are tasteless, stale, putrid, decomposed, unclean, cooked more than 3 hours before being eaten, remnants of the meals of others, meat, fish, eggs and liquor. These are the foods in mode of ignorance. The effect is there. People want to remain in little hallucination we call little moderate drinking. But it means we are avoiding the vitality of our sharpness of intelligence. You know? Even onion and garlic effects. In 1956, the doctors were very much concerned and they recommended very heavily that at that time the jet planes started in around 1956 or so. And especially it was found in Italy that the pilots were very much inclined to eat garlic bread. And they found that there were more mishaps in the flight. Then they analyzed that the garlic is the culprit. Even though it may a little lower down your cholesterol, but the sulfur ions and the pungent oils of onion and garlic, they penetrate the blood barrier, blood-brain barrier so quickly that the sulfur ions especially overpower and cover up your nervous system and make it what they call little damped. So the split-second decision and that situation the pilots are supposed to be alert all about was affected. And that was the reason. You know. Yes, we do not require certain things that is going to be giving us something entire reaction. For the heavy food, you need to eat onion and garlic, but indolence. What about the toxins which are created by unmetabolized this pungent oils? The body cells have to work hard to excrete, either through sweat or urine. If such substances are wanted, then it would have been giving a good effect on the body. So, we can work without it. So, in mode of goodness, alright, in mode of passion, the food selection is too bitter, sour, salty, pungent, rich, dry, or hot, causes pain, distress, and diseases. The food in mode of goodness that increases longevity, purifies one's existence, gives strength, health, happiness, and satisfaction, nourishing, sweet, juicy, fattening, and palatable milk products, grains, sugar, fruit, and vegetables. In food in mode of goodness, but there is beyond also the food that we prefer to cultivate pure goodness, free from the past sinful reactions. The food that frees us from the past sinful reactions and protects one from future contamination, invokes one's dormant Krishna consciousness, prepared by the devotees, and transcendental consciousness as a service to the Supreme, right? According to the scriptural injunctions and offered with devotion to the Supreme Lord, remnants of the meal of a saintly person or the spiritual master, these are all conducive to cultivate pure goodness. Similarly, we sacrifice also so many things. We become austere and become benevolent. We wake up and help others in the time of sickness. We are sacrificing our time, money, and so many things. just to help others. So, but that there are three kinds of sacrifice, because these activities are also affected by the different modes. In mode of ignorance, the sacrifice performed faithlessly, in defiance of scriptural injunctions, and with no spiritual food distributed, no hymns chanted, no remuneration made to the priest. As if, you know, no reciprocation. And passionate sacrifice is performed proudly, ostentatiously, for the sake of some material end or benefit such as elevation to heavenly kingdom. It's a very selfish motivation. I will give you $1, but please help me to get this lottery, my dear Lord. Thousands. How can you purchase by sacrificing $1 the effect of $1 million? Sacrificing mode of goodness performs as duty according to scriptural regulations and with no expectation of the reward. But the sacrifice in mode of pure goodness entails performed according to the scriptural injunction and under the guidance of spiritual master to please the Supreme Lord. When we chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra, there is only one motivation, and that is that this is an activity of sacrifice as a service to please the Lord. Chant in such a way that He may look to you. If you call anybody, but with all sincerity and full knowledgeability, certainly He will pay attention to you. So why not the Lord? Austerity is also there. In ignorance, those who become austere, they perform foolishly by means of obstinate self-torture or to destroy or injure others. Some of the diseases called bulimia are extremely self-induced tortures. And it doesn't work. It actually disturbs the others. Anorexia, bulimia. And especially it happens mostly in ladies, and some men are also there. They think they will become fat if they eat, so they deprive themselves purposely. But then they can't control, so even in the lean body they want to gorge more, and they can't digest. So it's a self-induced torture. Austerity performed in passionate nature means to gain respect, honor and reverence brings only unstable and temporary results. Austerity in mode of goodness is performed with the faith and without desires for one's material benefit. Bodily austerities like cleanliness, simplicity, celibacy, non-violence, offering of respects to the demigods, brahmanas, spiritual master and superiors like mother and father. Austerities of speech include speaking beneficially, truthfully and inoffensively and with the reference to Vedic authorities. Mental austerities are serenity, simplicity, gravity, self-control and purity of thought, detaching the mind from the sense gratification. And spiritually, it is performed with faith, with a desire to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like fasting day. Tomorrow is Ekadashi. The special day, twice in a month, it falls on the 15th day. Either on the and the new moon cycle or the vaccine cycle, what we call. Is it correct? Two phases of the moon? Alright. So, we fast from grains and beans because, as I said before, annad bhavanti bhutani. The bodily conception, the bodies are formed on the basis of consumption of the grains and beans. Right. Every living entity, those who are higher beings, they depend upon this. So, they create bodily conception. So, if you refrain on a particular day, don't eat, then that's very good. So, that is called the one that is going to please. It is also healthy. It is also giving you some relief, intermittent relief. And fasting is a good habit. But we combine with the purpose of fasting that should be satisfying, because there are references and indications that we have to follow just for the pleasure of the Lord. Such instructions are personally given by Him in the form of incarnations, in the form of appearances through the spiritual master, through the teachings of the Vedas. Everything is in connection with that purpose. The charity is also considered in three modes, especially charity in the mode of ignorance is performed at an improper time and place to an unworthy person like a gambler or a drunkard, and contemptuously without respect. Charity and passionate nature is performed to get something in return with a desire for fruitive results or in a grudging mood. Charity in mode of goodness is performed as a duty at the proper time and place to a worthy person and with no expectation of material returns. While charity is performed to satisfy the Supreme Lord is of a transcendental nature. No expectations attached. Similarly, renunciation, knowledge, action, the worker himself has been given. Another thing, how do we understand, how do we determine, what do we think of happiness? Let me tell you the last. Happiness in ignorance is blind to self-realization, delusion from beginning to end, comes about from the sleep, laziness and illusion. Happiness is to have a piece of chocolate. Happiness, drinking Pepsi Cola is happiness. These are the definitions of happiness in mode of ignorance. Derived from contact of senses with their objects, seems like nectar in the first but poison in the end, epitomized by, say, sexual enjoyment, is the happiness in passionate mood. Happiness in goodness is compared to the poison in the beginning but nectar at the end, because it involves control of mind and senses but awakes one to the self-realization. That is happiness. When we remove the ignorance, happiness is all an abundance around us. When happiness to be considered in the pure goodness, It is derived from the service rendered by a purified soul to the Supreme Personality of Godhead in His eternal loving relationship. Ever-increasing ecstasy is to be found in this happiness. It is not limited, it becomes unlimited, and it is unparalleled by any mundane experience of emotions. Happiness is not emotion. We become very easily, but then it is misplaced because it doesn't last long. Krishna is explaining this particular fact in 13th chapter, 22nd verse. He says, Purusha prakriti stoti bhunte prakriti jan guna karanam guna sangasya sadasadhyani janmashu. The living entity in the material nature thus follows the ways of life, enjoying the three modes of material nature. This is due to his association with that material nature. Thus, he meets with good and evil amongst the various species. We are really cheated by a temporary cheating experience of so-called good and bad because of sense perception. In the winter, I feel comfortable because of sweater or jacket or what. It protects, it conserves my thing, you know. But it is temporary. Those who want to transcend, then they will ignore this. Go to Himalaya in cold and become austere. So, the idea is that these three modes are so powerful that it is difficult to overcome. Because they were created in this material world to confine us, to correct us, that this place does not belong to us. It's a temporary home. And that is also miserable. We see miseries all around us. Yet we want to escape the miseries. But we think that we are happy, but it is fantasy. Why? Because our measure of happiness is on the account of miseries. Miseries are there, that is fact of life. But how do I consider myself happy in the material world? By looking at you. Oh, you have more miseries than me. Means I am more happier than you. Miseries are there for me too. But it is a question of more or less that defines my happiness. Is it a correct way to think that we are happy? Our habit to estimate happiness is on the strength of miseries. How much miseries are there? Miseries are there, that is fact. But happiness is what we call absence of miseries. If I am suffering from 5 miseries and you are suffering from 10 miseries, you know, I am thinking I am 5 happy. I ignore 5 miseries and I think I am happier than you. That conforms. So, Krishna says, this is divine energy. Material nature is also divine because he has generated from his inferior energy and confined us, his superior energy, part and parcel into that. So, Devi Hesha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratyaya మామేవ ఏ ప్రపద్యంతే మాయా మితాంతరందితే. కృష్ణ సేస్ దిస్ డివైన్ ఎనర్జీ ఆఫ్ మైండ్ కన్సిస్టింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ ఇస్ డిఫికల్ట్ టు ఓవర్కమ్, బట్ దోస్ హూ హ్యావ్ సరెండర్డ్ టు మీ కెన్ ఈజీలీ క్రాస్ బియాండ్ ఇట్. సో దట్ requires the surrendering to the Supreme Absolute Truth, who is the Supreme Person, you know, and we should meditate on Him, we should think on Him. So thank you very much. If anybody has any question, yes.
All right. You spoke about sacrifice. Like saying, if you sacrifice, people try and sacrifice $1 to try and eat $1 million. You know, win the lottery ticket. Someone wins the $1 million. What have they done differently? Why did, you know, they sacrifice the same amount, like $16 for a lottery ticket, to the person next to them? What causes them to get that $500 or $10 million on Saturday?
Huh. Do you think he is going to be happy? How long his happiness is going to stay? Suppose some, if you win a lottery, who will be after you? Tell me. Your wife will be after you. If not, the government will be after you. The third will be the investor. They will be bothering you. The bankers will be bothering you. Hey, why are you keeping so much cash? Invest. They want to govern your money. So, would you die in peace? What is the use of? And everybody cannot do that. What are the odds of winning? 1 in 1,000,000? But people are greedy, they are foolish, they want to use their hard-earned money for gambling. Is it not a gamble with his own life? So what kind of happiness would derive from such? It's passionate nature, but actually, how long he will be passionate? Till he destroys himself, means he is ignorant. More of ignorance prevails him. So we refrain from such activity. Why do we gamble? Life is not meant for gambling, rather to make a healthy end that we never come back into this miserable world again. And it does not require money. It requires the culture of, the cultivation of culture, of mode of transcendence. It doesn't cost money. Money is the evil if your consciousness is corrupt. Otherwise, you can use whatever you have in service of the Lord. Lakshmi is wedded wife of Narayan. She is the mother of all opulences. Any other question? It is amazing, even a dead matter that does not have consciousness can have effect of the three modes of material nature. Similarly, the metals. Gold is more valuable. And it is considered in mode of goodness. Silver is considered in mode of passion. But the lead or iron, copper, they are in mode of ignorance. The value system is directly, you know, enacted according to the effect of the modes. Why gold is so expensive? We think it's the source of our security in the future. That in emergency, we can sell off and release the investment back. This fake money today still depends upon the gold standard. How much money the government has in a country. This standard, the gold standard, has been existing from the very beginning. So, it's also said about orange juice. Orange juice works like gold in the early morning. But in the afternoon, it works like silver. And the evening, in the night time, if somebody drinks, it works like lead. The effect of modes are. We are supposed to rise up before the sunrise. Why? Because that is the time of mode of goodness prevails. As soon as sun rises, we become active, means hyperactive. Activity is the sign of mode of passion. And when the sun sets, ignorance also sets in. So we have to be very watchful that we should not be dragged to conduct the activities of mode of ignorance. Most of the simple activities are occurring after sunset. The effect of modes on our activity, the work, karma, we can change it. So this has been well studied. And Bhagavad Gita is a source. All the great personalities who have observed this truth and select the way of life based on the reality for the higher purpose of transcendental nature to go back home, back to Godhead, cultivate it. This is all about it. It's not a dogmatic religion that we have to follow.
Imagine past 50 years, 60 years, the whole world has been so much passionate, so much innovation, so much, we're saying that we are developing. Are they really developing or they, what is it happening?
Ask North Korea. Are we developing?
But everyone feels more comfort than what they were before.
No, the thing is that people became insecure, uncertain about anything around us. They don't have faith. So grab what you can, whether individually or collectively. So it's a race against the time of insecurity. They create various means intelligently to dupe others and live on their, you know, prey. So thank you very much. Krishna bless you. Hare Krishna.